Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Sans Pants Radio. Australia's most procedurally generated podcast network.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Shut Up A Second. I'm Jackson Bailey.
I'm Cass.
I'm Guy Montgomery.
And today's topic is carnivals. I was going to do circus music. That's all kinds of wrong.
Yeah, man.
Okay, what's
never cross the streams. You will upset two very distinct and passionate groups of people if
yeah,
ever.
That's very true.
Okay, well,
Carnies, I don't need that.
Yeah, who's winning in a fight?
The Circo Arts. These are like professionally trained athletes. When you think of a circus, do you think of a tent, like, you know, your red and white tent and a merry-go-round and, like, yeah, you know, a sort of that show? Or do you think of Cirque du Soleil? Yeah. Do you think of, you know,
yeah, exactly,
aerobatics and magic?
I think of clowns and animal abuse.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, exactly. But, I mean, to that point, if I was witnessing a fight, like, that fight's between carnies and lions, so I just think the lions are going to win.
See,
like, nine times out of ten.
Never underestimate a carny's moxie.
That's the thing.
Yeah, that's true.
If we're counting a modern circus where they've tried to eliminate the animal abuse and it's just people, carnies are wilier.
Mm.
And saying that, what better way to level the playing field of, you know, decades or centuries of animal abuse by allowing the animals or their ancestors, or sorry, their progeny, sweet retribution? Why don't we round
absolutely.
Up all of the lions who have heritage in the Circo Arts and say, all right, guys, we did you dirty, but the good news is we got 50 to 60 carnies through that gate, and you can just have with them.
Go ham. Enjoy. I thought you were going to be like...
Oh, you go.
You go.
I was just going to say, and the carnies, all they get is like, they get... their weapons are picked from a lucky dip. I remember I went to the Christchurch rural A&P show, the agriculture and P show, whatever P stands for. And I have this vivid, one of those memories I cannot shake when I was a boy, I was walking past some woman who was, you know, clearly just holding it together. Her only wear was she was peddling her lucky dip. She had this barrel. But it didn't seem as grim to me then as it did now. Oh. Now I'm like, oh no. But then she was just like, dig deep, you might find gold. And I was like, okay. And pulled out some shit.
That's terrifying.
But I think the carnies can only arm themselves with weapons they find at the bottom of a lucky dip. Yeah.
Yeah.
And $2 lucky dip.
If you're thinking about it as well, the carnies' retribution is getting tricked.
Yeah, so that's true. Absolutely.
In this fight, if we're trying to level out the playing field over hundreds of years of injustice, the carny has to be tricked constantly.
Mm. Yeah, 100%.
He has to believe he's going to win that fight.
Do you know, and the most bittersweet moment will be the carny who's fallen for one trick, two trick. But when they fall for the third and final trick, moments before the fatal paw comes slamming down on their skull, they have this moment of clarity where they say, they think to themselves, they think, it feels bad to be tricked. And then it's like they're ready to put their life on a whole new track. Yeah. And then, you know, it's just it's a split second, and then whabang, you got a bloody lion's paw on your head.
You give enlightenment, you take enlightenment away in the same breath. That's the true punishment.
Maybe the carny is armed with one of those big hammers to test your strength and one little hammer to whack-a-mole. and they just land like they do in a dream, soft marshmallows on an iron board.
Those really are the only weapons that Carney has access to. Mm. That and guns that shoot only water to fill up clowns or
and
whatever.
And whatever haunted specters live in their rickety haunted house, which nearly always broaches health and safety regulations.
Yeah, I feel like that, again, in terms of retribution for injustice, that's going against the Carney too, because everyone who's been died or injured is haunting that. They're not on the Carney side.
Mm. Oh, absolutely. Do you think if you died in a carnival, you'd haunt the carnival?
Oh, yeah.
Just like, what an opportunity.
I
screw your own home or your loved ones. Yeah, like, when are you going to get a chance to haunt a carnival? Be a carny ghost.
Can ghosts not move freely? Are they like, banished to haunt wherever it is that they pass? Because, you know, you've got a lot of people dying out in the wilderness who would have some of the most boring hauntings.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Just whiling away the hours, hoping for one lonely hiker.
I think that's why, you know, hiking and camping stories go so bad.
Absolutely.
All that you have is time to think.
Yeah, and, like, imagine you are a ghost in the wilderness and you've just spent your time haunting, like, I don't know, kangaroos or whatever, and then you do see a hiker. You're going to do, like, everything within your power to spook that hiker.
Yeah, but you're probably rusty. You don't know how to work people, you know. You got to be on top of your game. I'm now imagining someone who died in a haunted house because some sort of loose bit of wood fell on them. And then can you imagine this for a disaster for this ghost? They're I don't know what the word is, but they're banished in essence to haunt this haunted house. Mm. They hate the person who runs it. They do not want to enhance the quality of this haunted house. But just due to the nature of who they are and where they are, they cannot help but improve the quality of the product.
That's a tragedy.
Oh my God. They're just furious, you know. God, that would drive you nuts.
It is a modern tragedy. Yeah, absolutely. But I like because, you know, like the ghost sounds. So I'm imagining if you are a ghost, you know, you sometimes can't control your ghostly like essence or whatever. You knock something over and you're like, damn it. But like, that's the ghostly noises that you hear. Whoops.
Yeah.
Shit.
Can we all say what our ghost noise would be? I can start.
Oh.
Just go for a traditional whoa, like that. So that sounds like a friendly ghost, but then I'd do something really nasty, like loosen the top on the salt, and I'd ruin their chips.
Oh, damn. Your woe seems like you're at the edge of a cliff or something. It's just like a,
whoa. Easy there. That was close.
Those were your final last words, and you really didn't understand what was happening.
Yeah.
Oh, that was close.
Whoa.
Thank God I got away with that.
I might go for a traditional blair, like as in like popping around a corner.
Blair.
That's not traditional. The way you're delivering that is
Dracula's,
not traditional.
It's a Dracula's blair. Yeah, blair.
That's not
you
for
know?
A ghost, though.
Dracula's
your suburban condition
would be more like blue, but yours is like the vision. It's a different version of my woo. It's too casual. We're not haunting anyone, Tess. You got to bring it home.
Come on. Whoa, okay. Blair.
I don't think I'm going to go with a traditional noise. I think I want to go with one that would just be unsettling to hear, which is like,
that is bad.
Hearing that around it's the like house.
It's like a variation on the weeping or the scream. It's like still a noise of concern, but it's more like I'm like, is someone like, I don't know, mildly upset? I don't know. It's a stressful one.
It's also one that can be made either at the like right before something terrible happens or just after something very terrible has happened.
Mm. Mm.
Or I think what's bad about it is when you're having a really nice time. Otherwise, and you're like, wow, this is the greatest day of my life. You've got your engagement ring in your pocket. You've just prepared a delicious ossobuco for dinner. You've nipped into the other room to retrieve some dessert. No one knows that you've hidden the engagement ring. You've removed it from your pocket and you've put it in the pud. And then on your way back, you just hear a, what is it?
Cass, please. And now a quick word from our sponsors.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Also, Shut Up a Second is smooth as a summer breeze, but did you know we produce at least 8 other podcasts? Like Maybe You Wish Adam Could Take His Sweet, Sweet Revenge on Jackson and Cass for constantly bullying him, possibly in the form of a tabletop role-playing, possibly Gary Gygax's Dungeons & Dragons. If this sounds like you, then why not head to sanspantsradio.com and search for D&D's for Nerds, our real play podcast that's far better than it has any right to be. I was going to say, I don't like yours, Cass, because it feels like the ghost is in trouble. It feels like something worse is causing you grief.
Yeah, it's like, really upsetting.
If the ghost is having a bad time, what chance do I have in the face of whatever that is?
Yeah, and you kind of, it's one of those things like when you hear a baby cry where you're like, oh, I need a help. Mm. And then you're like, a ghost.
If I hear a baby cry, I'm like, wow. Not my baby, not my problem. unless there's no one tending to the baby. It's vaguely similar, but I was I was out for a run, and I was running up this bridge, and then coming down the bridge, there was a very muscular dad who had his shirt off and was running as fast as he could down the bridge, and his son was on a scooter. His son, who would have been 4 years old maybe, was on a scooter, riding the scooter next to him. And I could see that the dad was using all of his, like every, you know, iota of energy he had to move as quickly as he could. I was like, if you're going that fast, you have to realize that this also means your four-year-old son on that scooter is going that fast, which is, I would say, too fast. And then the son started doing these wild, like, speed wobbles. And I was like, this is going to go so badly. Oh. And I thought, should I stand in the way and, like, you know, scoop like a hero,
the impact,
scoop the son and hold the child up while the dad continues sprinting, you know, next to the scooter. And I thought, I'm some sweaty guy they don't know. And in these uncertain times, the last thing they want is some sweaty stranger waiting in and lifting up
just
their child.
Scooping up their
the
kid.
Last thing they want is someone literally child snatching.
Exactly. And so I let them past, and then not five paces past, I just heard this. And I was like, I knew it was going to happen.
That's your fault. That's so funny.
But then I thought, should I stop? Should I go back? And I thought, not my kid, not my problem.
No.
Yeah.
Still,
but also, it's even if you go back to the kid, he's like, you didn't stop, but you're there when, you didn't stop my kid, but you're coming over to check on its well-being.
I'm coming in, you know? I'm coming back to enjoy the fruits of my labor, which was not performing labor at all.
Fruits of your liberal.
If anything, I should get kudos for not snatching the child. You know,
you
never get a pat on the back for not child snatching,
not
do they?
It's only I agree.
A whole history, 32 years of never snatching a child. You snatch one and all of a sudden it sticks to you.
I remember I was at some festival, actually, which is like a carnival. I think you were there as well, Cass. And there was a lost child that I saw. They were like wandering around crying, scared, looking for their parents. Mm-hmm. This was at the Tulip Festival, the Tulip Festival, recall, Cass.
Oh, not a music festival.
Not a music festival. A Tulip Festival.
Where is the Tulip Festival?
Pardon?
Where was the Tulip Festival, Cass?
Oh, in the grass.
In the country somewhere.
That would make a lot of sense. Recall. I mean, I went to a flower festival in Melbourne, but I never heard of one flower getting its whole own festival.
Yeah. Oh, the flower and garden show?
It was dedicated to the tulip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also a classic. That's held within the CBD, though. This one's... You gotta get on
out
your bike for
somewhere.
It.
But there was a kid crying. They were missing their parents. And I was like, well, I'll go up and I'll give the kid help. But the first thing I had to do upon finding the child was find someone more appropriate to help the child. My job wasn't really to help the child at that point. It was to find a family so that people don't think I'm a pervert for helping the kid.
Yeah.
You know, that's the step I had to take.
What?
And the kid got... The kid, yeah.
I don't know. In that situation, I always think you... if. You know, like, you just have to trust that, A, you are not a pedophile, and B, you don't look like a pedophile, that you are an adult. And so you behave as an adult, which is you can take responsibility for the child as long, you know, like, you're walking around this Tulip Festival independent of a lost child, operating under the assumption that everyone who walks past you is like, nah, that guy, something off about him.
Not a pedophile. They can look at me and know. Not a pedophile, that guy. That's a compliment I'd like to get more often. Hi, lovely to meet you. You don't look like a pedophile. Oh, thank you so much. So kind of you. That's great.
Never What's raises your, any eyebrows.
Yeah, exactly. I've never thought that about you, Jackson.
Do you know what's confusing? Saying you're not a pedophile, it's one of those things where saying you're not the thing never really clears you of the notion that you're the thing. If anything,
it makes a lot worse.
Raises suspicion. Yeah. You don't look like a pedophile. Why were you even considering that? Oh, no.
Jackson, do you know what vibes you don't give off? What?
what? Why are you bringing this up?
Wait. What vibes do I give off then? If this is
exactly. What's your favorite thing at a carnival? If you go to a carnival, what's your favorite thing to see there?
Lights, pretty what lights do you like? In the dark. But
that is good.
The one that does three different kinds of spinning. So the little cars spin, and then they spin on a little rotor, and then the whole thing spins on a rotor.
Yes.
Oh, whoa.
Yes, that is good. It is cool that, like, so many carnival rides, they're like, how many variations of spinning can we get in the one ride? That's cool.
My same carnival that woman beckoned me into, a lucky dip, different age.
Yeah.
I was with my very good friend Oscar, and he was actually debuting a new shirt. We would have been about 14, and... If you go to the Christchurch A&P show, it's a great opportunity to maybe not spark up a romance, but at least have a platonic hang with a lovely
lady.
Someone you might recognize. Mm. And he was wearing this brand new, I believe it was a Rusty shirt, and it had sort of a dragon print on it.
That's cool.
Very cool. And there was a ride called the Gravitron, which if you went on, it would spin around at such a pace that it would generate, I guess, is it the center of frugal thought.
Yeah, and, sucking it out.
So it would sort of remove the notion of gravity, so you could put your body in these crazy sort of splayed forms on the padded wall.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
And as long as it was spinning around, you could still move your body, but, you know, you could be upside down for a while spinning around, and that was a bit of fun. And we were doing that, and must have been about $5 to get on it, I think. And there was a metal bar came loose from the center above us.
Oh, my God.
It struck Oscar in the head.
Fucking hell.
And he threw up. God. On himself mid-ride on his new shirt.
Not on the shirt!
You know, there's no way to stop it. The operator's outside of the ride. And so he just spent, you know, the remaining sort of minute or two with his own vomit pinned against him.
Oh.
Holy shit.
And like a concussion, it sounds like.
Yeah. And I think it would have been untoward of us to lay a complaint. So we just... You know, we just went out
of there,
spent enough money on the lucky dip till he pulled out a shirt and had ourselves an afternoon.
What did you get from the lucky dip?
Yeah, true. Good question.
I don't know. I can't remember. It's probably like a wooden spinning top or some. It's probably someone who's got a whole lot. They bought a bunch of cut price Christmas crackers and then took out the prizes and wrapped them up and put them in a barrel.
That is the cheapest way to resell.
That's true. That lucky dip it. Oh, I think the last time I went on the Gravitron, there was a DJ in it. That's pretty cool.
In it.
So, yeah, in the center of the Gravitron, there was a DJ and like all of the speakers and stuff were duct taped to the roof and the floor. And he was just in the center, like headphones on, jamming out. It was like if one of those speakers had come loose and careened into me, it would have crushed my chest. I would have died.
I can't help but think of the DJ. You say it's pretty cool, but what DJ's aspirations are to fucking play a gig inside of a Gravitron at a carnival?
I think
roadside carnival.
Yeah, the ingenuity for sure. Creating your own work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. Exactly.
Who approached who? The DJ approached the Gravitron and said, this is missing one thing, EDM.
I like to think that he did it by like in sections. Like he just went on the Gravitron and while he was in the middle, he stuck down a speaker, slowly brought the equipment in. They were like, this guy's here, so we'll let him do it. We'll let him live in the
this
Gravitron.
This guy sure loves the Gravitron. Wow, he's been riding it all day.
Imagine, like, I just can't think. Like, you go on the Gravitron once. When I went on the Gravitron with the DJ in it, I came out of it, and for 2 days afterwards, I was dizzy. Like, it fucked up my center, my equilibrium or something.
Ooh.
I can't imagine going in that from, like, 10 a.m. to, like, 9 p.m. the whole day, jamming. You'd be deaf from the music.
But he'd be constantly
off balance.
He wouldn't be Gravitroned, as it were.
Would he not? He's spinning.
He's spinning.
Yeah, because he's in the middle as a Gravitron
spins. The whole thing is spinning.
Oh. Yeah.
I can see there's a physics argument, Cass. You're imagining that the center point is fixed while the Gravitron spins around it, and so the DJ gets to remain still.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But if he's spinning the whole time, that man is dead.
I think he was spinning.
He is the ghost who is haunting the carnival.
Exactly.
If not yet, as an actual ghost, with time, certainly they will become a ghost.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a good way. So the Gravitron slowly sucks your spirit out. leaves you with just essence.
Off to heaven. That's great. I would like to go to heaven at speed like that. Just phew, like a rocket. That's my dream.
Shoot me to God.
You've put me in mind of an awkward experience I had at a carnival kind of recently that I completely forgot about.
You still go to carnivals?
Yeah.
Well, it was, I guess, like less like a carnival and more like, you know when like they turn a street into a carnival?
Street party.
And there'll be like stalls along it. It was one of them. And
I really like that when they do that.
Yeah.
What's the difference between that and a market?
Rides.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, this one had a couple of rides, I think, maybe people dancing. Yeah.
Is this over New Year's?
I don't remember when it was. I just know I was really headachy the whole time. And I was like headachy and a bit sick and I wanted to leave and it was quite fumey. And then I saw a French bulldog that someone had. And I love French bulldogs. That's like my favorite kind of dog. And I'm also the kind of person that if I see a dog I like, I'll just like ask the owner if I can pat it. Like I've got no shame about that. And so I saw the French bulldog, but I wasn't thinking and I was headachy and I was sick. And I was like, can I pat this French bulldog? And the guy who had it on the leash was like, yeah, sure, fine. And I didn't really realize that he was like quite short with me. And I got down and started playing with the French bulldog. And then over the top of my head, the man had an argument with what was clearly his wife as I patted the French bulldog below them. Like he was like, we got to go home, honey. I'm sick of this. And I was just sitting there like, oh no. Oh no. Wow. Because I'd invited myself, I'd imposed on this man to pat his French bulldog, so I feel like there's some social contract there.
You do the honourable thing. You wade into their argument, start taking sides.
Did you mentally like pick who was right?
I think he seemed like he was very sick and this is what the argument was, and I was kind of trying to block it out because I was like, what have I done? Where it seemed like she was running a stall and he really wanted to go home. And he was sick and tired of being there, but she was like, the market's not over. So I think maybe I take her side in this because she's just doing her job. Maybe if he didn't want to be there, he shouldn't have come. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
maybe that's my feeling.
Yeah, but they're not
Yeah. He can go yeah. home. People in relationships are allowed to do things apart from one
That's
another.
That's so weird. Yeah.
Absolutely. That's very true. But I feel like the social contract, how long do you think is an appropriate time for me to have patted that French bulldog? Because it can't be no time.
Well, I think, given the circumstance, as long as the argument lasts, because otherwise you're drawing more attention to the fact the argument's happening, because you leave and you go, thanks a lot, it was a really good pet. You know, by the way, here's what I think. I guess the duration of a terse argument between a woman running a stall and her impatient partner.
I reckon
that's so funny because that argument could go. Sorry, no, Cassie. I was just going to say that argument could go like the whole night. I could be in the back seat of their car patting the French bulldog, being like, this is still totally normal. Nothing about this is abnormal. This is just relationships, guys.
Yeah, maybe they're trapped inside of a relationship-long argument and you move in a you, me, and Dupree-style situation. You're just tethered to this bulldog while they slowly march towards a divorce.
Who is the lawyer being like, who's this man? And they're like, oh, he just asked to pat the French bulldog. I just like Frenchies. They're a cute kind of dog.
I didn't want to draw attention to the fact they were having an argument. Like, they're getting divorced now. You can leave.
I don't think they've
signed the papers yet. So.
I don't want to be rude.
What if they go back on it? I don't know.
I'm the only thing holding this relationship together.
They break up. You stay with whoever kept the dog.
Yeah,
exactly. If they remain pissed at their partner to the point where occasionally maybe they mutter to themselves about how angry they are, I have to stick around.
You do. Legally.
That's good. Eventually, I you know, people say a family can be anything. I think a family can be. I think that can be a family. A couple, their French bulldog, and the man who didn't want to draw attention to the fact that they were having an argument.
Yeah.
That's good. What a way to meet someone. That's my last awkward carnival experience, though. I think I stayed for longer than I should have, to be honest. I didn't leave straight away. And I thanked the guy, which I think was a mistake as well.
No, I would have done that.
Because he didn't want to talk to me.
I would have...
It felt like the polite thing to do. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Look, because you either want to bail next to immediately, like, where you go, oh, yeah, cute dog, bye. But
absolutely.
You literally are interrupting the argument.
What about if you try and diffuse the argument? So you pat the French bulldog for a bit, and then you just get in front of the guy and you're like, lovely dog, what breed is it? And see where that takes you.
That is not diffusing the argument. That is, that's just not reading social cues. Diffusing the argument is literally taking a side or like, you know, trying to mediate between the two points of view.
Actually,
which I think Cass did a fantastic job of earlier. If you don't like it here, go home. Not my fucking problem. I've got
Get
a stall to run.
You're allowed to leave. Well, may I present a third option? Start a new argument.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Like come up from the dog and say, your dog bit me.
Okay, I like where this is going.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. You go down there. While you're patting it, you bite yourself on the arm secretly.
Yeah.
And then you go, look at what your dog did.
And they
that's
go,
a
like,
man-sized
that's
bite.
Yeah, that's a person's tooth marks. You go, no, it's not. And they go, yeah, it
no,
is.
No, wrong.
You go, no, it's not. And they go, okay, bite me. Bite me and we'll see. If they're the same tooth marks, then we'll know that you bit yourself. My dog didn't bite you.
I don't want to bite you.
I'm not going to bite you. Are you fucking out of your mind? I'm not going to bite a stranger at the carnival. You give them a united enemy. You reunite them. You're responsible for
clever.
Their relationship going longer.
Yeah.
And probably, you
I
know,
was thinking,
being unhappy for longer.
Yeah, join them together.
Out.
I was thinking the same thing. If I kidnapped the Frenchie, that also would give them a unified villain for them to fight to come
Under
together.
The shirt,
snip the lead, pick it up, run. Hope you guys work it out. And then I just careen down the carnival or whatever. You
and
know,
you could,
that's
you
another
could
way.
Taunt them. You could leave clues like the Zodiac Killer. But you don't kill people. You just nurse French bulldogs.
I kidnap this one dog. That's my crime spree.
Your first clue would be like, what are those dog biscuits?
Schmackos.
I don't know. Well,
Schmacko.
Yeah. I mean, because you'll have their phone number on its tags, so you find out where they live.
True.
And you leave a trail of snackos. Smackos.
Schmackos.
To your local cafe, and then when you see them out there for coffee, you just walk past. You know, with a cat or something that's not the dog. No, that looks like the guy who took the but it's a cat. That can't be the guy.
They're just in the cafe like, he can't keep getting away with this.
Maybe I walk past them with like a regular bulldog, but I've put a beret on it and like a striped shirt.
I like
He's
that.
Like, taunting us.
Are you the man who stole our French bulldog? I'm like, this is a French bulldog. Oh, yeah. And then I leave, and they're like, that's
yeah,
the fucking
do
guy.
You got to do the generic French accent. You go, what, me? No.
No.
Moi? Sacre bleu.
This is a British bulldog. And then the dog will go,
you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
you're right.
Right. Don't call me a frog.
You're not me, Dad.
The trick is I've stolen that English bulldog from another arguing couple. And I've got to take the French bulldog and make it look British somehow. I don't know how to do that. To do the same trick again.
Shave its head. Shave its head and get it into football.
It's a football hooligan dog. And they're like, please, sir, be quiet. It's British. This is the only way I could do it.
Yeah. Maybe lead both of them to the same cafe and try and wife swap them.
Oh, that's
solve
good.
Solve everyone's problems by first creating further problems.
That's the thing. You gotta. To solve a problem, often you have to introduce a problem or rely on a stranger at a carnival to introduce several problems.
That's a service Jackson offers right before the credits roll when the new couples are together. He winks at the camera and throws a business card to another arguing couple before stealing their purse.
When you ask what's my favorite part of the carnival, that's what my answer is. It's the guy who goes around creating issues for couples who are already in arguments, you know, with the long view to eventually reconciling them and hopefully building a beautiful life together.
Perhaps yeah, absolutely.
A godparent to their spawn.
I would like them at the very least to mention me in any vows that they're going to have in the
future. Here's their vows. You know? Well, I love you. You know, you're the light of my life. You make every day better. You make me better. I'm so grateful to have you. And I'm also grateful to that guy, second row. Definitely not a pedophile.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah.
And all of your dreams have come true at once.
Oh, my God. I'm in heaven.
you get shot straight off into the sky.
Light max speed to heaven. I arrive there, St. Peter at the gates. I'm like, they said I wasn't a pedophile. Can you imagine how that made me feel? Now, can I get into heaven or what?
And St. Peter would be like, no, you were wreaking absolute havoc. There was chaos what you were doing down there.
You steal his half and go back down.
You're going to hell,
you
baby.
You and God will figure it out.
And the job of being in hell is being a real ghost in a cheap haunted house.
Whoa, brought it full circle. Damn. And I guess on that note, I've been Jackson Bailey.
I've been Cass.
And I have been Guy Montgomery.
Guy, where can people find you if they want to hear more of you or see more of you? Where can they go?
If you find me on Instagram or Twitter at guy_mont, I will then, through my output, suggest things that you might enjoy.
All right. Wonderful. What a deal.
What a deal.
It's
bargain.
A really cunning way that I'm using social media. So I'm using social media to just put stuff out there. Color me crazy. But that's just one of the things I do.
Look, it's one of your followers across the platforms. Yeah. I receive what he puts out.
There you go.
That's great. Works. That's good. That's clever.
Thanks for listening. If you want to help support this show and all the other shows on the SansPants Radio Network, just head to sanspantsradio.com and consider joining the SansPants Plus community. There's over 20 bonus shows, a SansPants Plus Discord, exclusive video content, and discounts on merch. Just head to sanspantsradio.com and follow the links.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.